that talks about thanksgiving and praising the Lord. And this one's maybe some people would not say really it's a thanksgiving song, psalm, but the word thanksgiving is found in verse number 17. And it just talks about the reasons why we love the Lord. And that's where it starts off. I love the Lord. I wonder how many of us tonight love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? If you do, say amen. Yeah. Hey, there's at least one way you get people to say amen, right? So I love the Lord. And that's what he said. And then he goes, I love the Lord because. And he begins to list the reason. When's the last time you actually sat down and said, okay, I love the Lord because, and then began to make a list of things. And if you're going to look at the Psalms, as we look at the Psalm, you're going to see he doesn't talk about physical things. If this is David, which we believe it is, if it's David that's the writer here, and David is writing, and if he's king at this time, he has a lot of physical things. Well, that's not why he loves him. And tonight, I'd like to think about this and maybe encourage you sometime this week as we get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving Day. Most people take extra time to think about how blessed we are. Sometimes we get so busy. I know sometimes some people get up super early in the morning to cook the turkey and the family and friends and football and all that type of things and more and food and then more food. Sometimes we forget to take time to think about it. But in Psalms 116, I want you to think a little bit tonight with the psalmist, I love the Lord because. And if you love the Lord, you know what? We should be willing to say that I loved him. Consider this for a moment. A redeemed sinner has the opportunity to say, I love God. Why is that? It's because he first loved us. A person who did not know God, and God loved us so much. Praise the Lord for that. We can say, I love the Lord. And it's easy for us to say because we love him. We sing the song, oh, how I love Jesus. But and the reality is a precious, precious thing to love the Lord. Man may not return your love, but God loves you. God loved you first. That's the reason why we loved him. He loves us forever. And tonight, as we looked at this, I do want you to think, and you're going to see tonight, there are some different things there. He says, I love the Lord because of this. I love the Lord because of this. I love the Lord because of this. And then they come to this question in verse number 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? Because all the things he does for me, what can I do or what should I do? How can I show my appreciation and my love for him? And then he begins to say things like, I will, I will, I will. And the reality is, because of God, it does demand a answer. It demands a response. We should respond to him. If we do love him and he does all these things for us, what can we do to render back to him the things he's done so much for us? What does the Bible say under inspiration, the ways that we can render a response to him? So I began thinking a little bit about my list. I love the Lord because, and it's a long list, but I'll just read a few of those. I love the Lord first because he loved me. I wouldn't love him if he didn't love me. I wouldn't know him if he didn't reveal himself unto me. But I love him first. He enables me to love him. I love him because he's patient with me. I don't know about you, but I know over the years I've done dumb and stupid things, and I probably would have kicked myself to the curb a long time ago if I was God. But he's been patient with me. He's trustworthy. I love him because he's trustworthy. I can trust him. And anything he says, anything he does, he always is going to do what is right. He died for me. He was willing to shed his blood for me. He's promised me that he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. And the last one that I'm going to mention, at least right now, is that he hears and answers our prayers. And that's where it comes into here in verse number 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. The psalmist is saying, I love him. I truly love him. And one of the main reasons is because he's heard my voice and my supplications. Not only has he heard it, he says, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore, I call upon him as long as I live. Not only does he hear me, he actually listens. He kind of leans in and he hears everything that I have to say and he even knows the reason why I'm saying it. And so because of that, I'm going to call upon him as long as I live. Then he begins to describe a hard time. The sorrows of death come past me and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And if this is David, there definitely was trouble and sorrow in his life. And then it says, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And he did. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple, and I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I mean, that just sounds beautiful. Reasons why I love him. And then in verse number 9, it changes. Because I love him, because of all these things, this is what I'm going to do. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living, meaning I'm going to walk before him and understand I'm in his presence. I understand everything I'm doing is in his sight. I believe, therefore have I spoken, I was greatly afflicted. I'm going to talk about my faith. I'm going to talk about the things that I believe. I was greatly afflicted. And then he came to his understanding in verse 11. I said in my haste, all men are liars. And that's true. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Then he continues, I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in his presence, in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And verse number 19, in the courts of the Lord's house, he brings it all the way back to the temple. In the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. In that most sacred place, I'm going to get close to the Lord and I'm going to praise him. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for enabling us to love you back. Lord, I pray that we consider all the great many benefits. And as we begin to celebrate this week of Thanksgiving, that we begin to consider how good you are to us. And that you love us, and not just that we love you because of the physical things. There's so much attached to salvation. It is so hard if we consider not to be thankful for all the things you provide for us. Help us not just to be thankful, help us also be grateful for it. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. First part is the reasons why the psalmist loved the Lord. The reasons why the psalmist loved the Lord. There's a few different things, but we're only going to talk about a couple. We're going to move through these quickly because we want to see the response more than the reasons, because I don't think I have to explain to you why we love the Lord. I think most people understand. Most people get it. Most people understand. I love the Lord because he first loved me. I love the Lord because he died for me. I love the Lord. He's always been good to me. So the number one thing they say, because he has heard and answered his prayers. That's what you see in verse number one. I love the Lord because he have heard my voice and my supplication. Does God hear you? The answer is yes. Does Jesus care like we just heard about? The answer is yes. But do you see God answering your prayers? Are you living in a life that you're communicating with God on a regular basis and you see definite prayers being answered? Have you seen God meet a need? Have you seen God answer your prayers? This is what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist is saying, I prayed, I sought after the Lord, I was in hardship, I did all those different things, and you know what? He answered my prayers. And because of that, I love him. I know that. And so many times in our lives, we're like, oh, I don't really hear God's answers. I don't see God answering. I don't see God working and God moving. It's not because God can. He can. And there's something that's wrong with the communication. There's something wrong in our own lives and the way we're communicating. The psalmist says, the reason why I love the Lord is because he hears and answers my prayers. Next thing he says, because he delivered my soul from death. If you go down and look at verse number 8, and I know there's other verses in between, but it says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I guess I think that sounds beautiful. Are you saved tonight? If you are, he's delivered your soul from death. We have something to be thankful for. I love him because I don't have to spend eternity in hell. Then he talks about he's delivered your eyes from tears. He's delivered your feet from falling. This is the psalmist list. It's an inspired list. And I think that it's a list that can be applicable to all people. But just like this, if you look at this list, you don't see him saying, well, I'm thankful for my palace. I'm thankful for my riches. I'm thankful for my house. I'm thankful for... He's saying things he's thankful for when it comes to a spiritual thing. What has God done for your soul? We're not talking about things because when David died, he passed off into eternity. He left behind all those things. What has God done for you that this world cannot take away? What has God done for you that death will not rob you of it? What is it in your life that you could say, I love the Lord because? I want you to answer that in your own heart tonight.
This is the reason why I love God. He deserves my love, and he's been so good to me. So how do I respond? When I think about how all God has done and all the things he said, I, like the psalmist, I say, I love the Lord. I'm just thankful for it. And there's nothing more I can say is besides I love him because of what he's done. Now, here's the thing. How do we respond? Sometimes when people come up to you and they say, I love you, or they show generosity, they show kindness, your heart's overwhelmed. And many times you're like, how am I supposed to respond? Thankfully, in his book, he tells us all these different things of how we can respond. One of those things is praise. But when I consider this in Psalms, it begins to change in verse number 9. It goes from all the benefits, all the things he does for us in verses 1 through 8. In verse number 9, he starts talking about the things he's going to render. Like it said in verse number 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? After the psalmist says, I love God, and because I love him, this is what I'm going to do. And when we say, I love the Lord, we should respond. There should be a response. It shouldn't, there should be. It demands a response. If we truly love him with all our heart, then there is a response we'll have towards him. First thing I want you to see, he says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That's what it says in verse number 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to live the right way. I'm going to live believing that God sees what I do. That's a challenge that so many of us have today. Since we don't consciously live in the presence of God, we become more worried about people who do not care about us, who do not love us, more worried about even those that are around us than we do what God thinks. How much guilt is given and how much guilt is part of a person's life when we start saying, man, I am so concerned they're going to find out about this hidden sin. I'm so concerned if my family would ever know I thought this way or if I did this, they would disown me. If they knew this, they wouldn't let me come to church. They wouldn't let me be part of church. They wouldn't let me teach. They wouldn't let me preach. They wouldn't let me sing. I'm so worried about this sin that somebody's going to find out. But there's someone who already knows. And there's someone we should care more about. The one who we love, we say we love, and I'm worried about everybody else that might not even like me. But there is one that I say I love, and I'm not concerned about how he feels. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Because I love him, I'm going to walk in the land of the living. I'm going to walk before him. I'm going to do what is right because he is the one that I'm living for. He is the one I live day by day for. How much we consider that God sees everything we do. Our hearts would be crushed if we thought, man, they found out that, or I can't believe I did that. But it does not bother us to sin. It does not hurt our heart that if we get away with it. And the question is, how much do we truly love? Of course we don't want to disappoint our families. Of course we don't want to do things that hurt because, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, offenses will come. It's going to happen. We're all humans, and with humans in relationships, sometimes people are going to be offended. Often they're going to be offended, and that's why God tells us to forgive. That's why God tells us to be merciful and kind and tenderhearted. But here the reality is, I care more about what somebody else finds out because I'm worried about what they think than I'm worried about what God thinks. It shouldn't be that way. Not saying we flaunt our sin and say, I don't care what anybody else feels. Instead, we say, I love the Lord, and I don't want to hurt the heart of God. And that's what the psalmist is saying. If you truly love him, one of the things you're going to come to, one of the things I'm going to render, there's not much I can do to pay back him. There's not much I can do to say thank you. There's not much I can do to offer that sacrifice of praise, but I can walk before him. I can live before him. I can respond and say, I'm going to do what's right. And that's what he's saying when he says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He's saying amongst people. Next thing he says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. He says, I will speak out of my faith. I will speak out of my faith. So many times people are stuck in verse number 11 when they said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. That they never get to verse number 12. They get so worried about what people think and how people are going to feel that it's not about the one I love. It's not about the one I want to render back the benefits for all the things he does for me. I want to respond. And David is saying, I'm going to speak of my faith. I'm going to let the world know all men are liars. I don't care what they think. I'm going to tell the truth and I'm going to speak of the one I love. It's interesting when you, unless somebody's trying to keep something private, usually when someone starts dating somebody or when you're engaged or you get newly married, they don't mind talking about the one they love.
They many times they talk a lot about them. Get around somebody who likes their grandkids and wants to sit there and talk about their grandkids all day. I think that's wonderful. Why is that? It's because they love them. And what the psalmist is saying, I love the Lord. And I made this list of things, the reasons why I love him. I'm going to walk before him, and I'm going to talk about him in my faith. How come we struggle so often with talking about our faith? If we consider all the things he's done for us, not what men's done for us, and if we get to the point, I love the Lord because of this, this, and this, all men are liars. They're not going to understand my love, but I'm going to speak out of faith. I'm going to speak up. I'm going to say what I'm supposed to. Then he continues on. In verse number 13, he says, I will take the cup of my salvation. So, Pastor, I've done that. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. And call upon the name of the Lord. And I began thinking about that and thinking about as a believer. And I began thinking about the cup. And we even considered the cup and what it represents here tonight. Have you ever thought about the cup that Christ took so that way we could have a cup of salvation? Have you ever thought about the cup of suffering where he said, let this cup pass by so we could have a cup of salvation? And he calls it here. He says, I will take the cup of salvation. Have you ever thought the suffering he went through so that way we could have this cup? And it's something we continually drink of because salvation, yes, it is something that happens instantaneously. It's something that we are saved and we're on our way to heaven. We are sealed, all that. But how many benefits do we have with salvation? How much benefits do we have with the Holy Spirit inside of us? How many things that go along with, as a saying in verse number 12, all his benefits toward me that the cup of salvation talks about. You cannot exhaust it. You cannot empty the cup. It's something that you continually take part of. It's continually, you keep, and that's what he's saying, I will keep on praying. I will call upon your name. Next thing, as we respond, not just by walking before him and speaking about him, talk about that cup, and as we consider the cup that we're going to take part of, we consider the cup that Christ took part of so we could have that cup of salvation. He says, verse 14, I will pay my vows. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I know we talk about this. I wouldn't use the word often, but you're going to say, Pastor, I know what you're going to talk about, paying back the things you've promised to God. And that's the truth. That's what the psalmist is saying. There were times in my life God spoke to my heart and I made a vow to God. But when I kind of stopped listening or stopped being close to him, I stopped paying that vow. I've been there. I made a promise to God. Hey, I'm going to read my Bible every single day. And there's been in the past times when I haven't. I broke that vow. There's been times in my life where I've made commitments when it comes to soul winning, commitments when it comes to prayer, commitments when it comes to other things. Those are the vows he's talking about. And if we remember, I love the Lord because, and you look at those different things, what the psalmist is saying, I know I've told you before in the past, I'm willing to do these things, and I haven't owned up to it. Because I haven't owned up to it, because I see how much you love me, I want to be truthful. I want to be honest. One preacher put it as, true revival would happen if every Christian would just do what they had promised God they would do in the past. True revival would happen in our churches if everybody would just do the things they had promised. Not make new promises, the things that God has spoken to their heart about in years past. That they say, making a commitment, whether an altar at your seat and say, you know what? God wants me to do this. I'm willing to do it. But then many times we fall away. That's what the psalmist is saying. And then he even says this. He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. He's saying that it's something I'm not going to be ashamed of. It's not something I'm going to hide. It's not something I'm going to flaunt, but it's something that I don't care if anybody else knows. I love the Lord. And because I love the Lord, I'm going to pay back that vow. I made this commitment to God. I made the commitment to God. I'm going to do it. That's a response for all the benefits he gives to us. Verse number 18, verse 15 we'll do first. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. I think the psalmist is saying that we're precious to him. That it's not asking too much to walk before him. It's not asking too much to talk about him. It's not asking too much to take part of that cup of salvation. It's not asking too much to pay those vows. He says, I'm precious to him. And even in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We mourn it, but Christ looks at it as something that's precious. In verse 16, he makes this commitment, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. He set us free. In verse 17, the next one, I will be thankful. He said, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I think what he's saying here is boils down, Lord, I will be thankful. I'll be thankful for the things I have. I will acknowledge that you're this and you've done this. I will be grateful in my responses because not only do I see that you're presently with me, I'm going to walk like you're with me. Not only do I see the fact that your word is there and such a great gift, I'm going to appreciate it by reading it. Not only do I see the gift of the church, I'm not just going to say, I acknowledge the church is great. Thank you for giving to me. I'm going to get involved and be a part of it. I will be thankful. Then it comes all the way down to verse number 19. It's a great verse at the end he closes with. It says, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of the old Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Brings it all the way back to the courts of the Lord's house. Brings it all the way back to the temple. In the midst of thee, I think he's referring to the Holy of Holies. And he's saying, I'm going to come and I'm going to praise you one-on-one. I'm not just going to praise you when everybody else can see. Not just going to praise you when they say, let's stand together and sing. I'm going to take the time to get close to you to consciously enter into your presence in private, and I'm going to take time to praise you. When's the last time we really took time to praise God for who he is? That's what I believe the psalm here. He comes all the way back here to this point in time, and he says, I pay the vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, and the courts of the Lord, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. And they had to talk about that Holy of Holies and that only one person could enter into the presence of God back in the Old Testament. It was that priest once a year. But thankfully, that's not our case. Thankfully, that veil was torn. Thankfully, we can go in and we can go in boldly, as the Bible says. And we can come close to him and we can say, Lord, I am thankful for who you are. And I just want to spend some time praising you. I love you because of this and because of that and because of this. And because of that, and because I love you, I'm going to respond by doing this. So when we think about Thanksgiving, and we go and visit family, and we go and spend time eating, and we do all these things that the world associates with Thanksgiving, let us not forget to take time to say, let's make sure my relationship is right. And I would encourage you sometime this week, in some quietness, and maybe some kids get with their parents and they do it together. I love the Lord because. And it might not just all come to you at one point in time. I tell you, when you start and you start writing, it's going to keep on going and going. But sincerely think about it and say, now, with what can I do to render to God for all these benefits? Because he does all this to me, what is God asking from me? Well, the psalmist says, I believe he wants me to be right in the way I walk in front of him. I believe he wants me to act like I am in the presence of God. I believe he wants me to talk about it. I believe that he wants me to be thankful. I believe he wants me to take part of that cup of salvation and pay back those vows. Have you made a commitment to God before in your life and that maybe you're waning on that a little bit? Talk to him about it. In a moment when God speaking to your heart, when preaching is going on, you'll say, that was just a moment of weakness. That was a moment of God speaking to you. Be faithful with that. I love the Lord because. And tonight, I pray you can say the same thing. I do love the Lord. And we're going to remember what he did for us. We're going to remember the Lord's table, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit in just a few minutes. But let's not forget. Let's spend a few minutes now, even during our invitation time, saying, I love the Lord because. And how has my response been? His love for me has never changed. My love for him is something I like to say. It's like what I like to sing about. But how do I render back all those benefits? What can I do? Don't ask me. Ask the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this great Psalms. Lord, I love you. And Lord, I love you because you first loved me. And Lord, I know that there's people in this room that love you. Many. I would think even the majority of people that would say, I love the Lord because. And Lord, we come to this moment and this time, how do we respond to that love? How do we render to all those benefits you've given to us? Lord, if we truly love you, we're going to care about what we do in front of you. We're not going to be shy. We're going to speak because men are untruthful. Men don't even care about us, but we love you. And because we love you, we're going to speak about you because you've told us to. We're going to take that part of that cup of the salvation. We're going to remember what you did for us. Lord, we're also going to continue on just giving thanks and praise. And those vows, those things you've spoken to our heart and our hearts before, Lord, help us to pay back those commitments. Help us to be faithful on those things you remind us of. Lord, speak to people's hearts during this invitation time. Whether it's here at the altar or at their seat, Lord, they would be saying, I love the Lord because, and I want to respond to that love with things that will be honoring and pleasing and demonstrating that love. In Jesus' name, amen.